beautiful weekend just to celebrate together, isn't it? I love that old adage that says, all gave some, but some gave all. And we are truly thankful for that, for those that have given all so that we could be here today. I'm going to read out of 2 Chronicles chapter 31 today. We're picking it up in the story where King Hezekiah is coming in and he's destroying idolatry and he's just putting some things into order in Israel at the time. And we're going to pick it up in verse 4. It says, in addition, Hezekiah required the people in Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord. When the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share of their grain, new wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced. The people who had moved to Judah from Israel and the people of Judah themselves brought in the tithes of their cattle, sheep, and goats, and a tithe of the things that had already been dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them up in great heaps. They began piling them up in late spring, and the heaps continued to grow until early autumn. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw these huge piles, they thanked the Lord and his people Israel. Where did all of this come from? Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites, and Azariah, the high priest from the family of Zadok, replied, since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. The Lord has blessed his people, and all of this is left over. Just a few thoughts from this passage. First one, God's people are natural responders. It says that when this decree was issued, it says that they responded. They didn't get upset. They weren't mad at King Hezekiah for saying to do this. They didn't say, I'm never going back to the temple again. I'm not doing this anymore. They didn't get mad, but they responded. They moved. They put it into action, what was asked of them to do. Because God's people are natural responders. Number two, God's people are naturally generous. So it says they responded generously. They brought it generously. They didn't just give a little. It says they brought a large quantity. They were happy to bring it. They were generous in their actions. They were generous in their responding. Why? Because God's people are generous. They're natural givers. A third thought, giving promotes thankfulness. When Hezekiah saw the piles that had been brought in, what did he do? He thanked God. When someone hands you something as a gift, your natural response should be what? Thank you. Because giving promotes thankfulness. When we think about what God has done for us, when he died on the cross for our sins, we say, thank you, God. Thank you. If you never do another thing for me, Jesus, I thank you for what you've done. Because giving promotes thankfulness. And last thought, when God's people give, there's always an overflow. It says we've had enough to eat and plenty to spare. The Lord has blessed his people, and all of this is left over. When we give of our time, when we give of our talents, when we give our servitude, when we give of our finances, God always provides. There's always an overflow. There's more than enough. So this morning, just remember that God's people are natural responders. God's people are generous. Giving promotes thankfulness. And when God's people give, there's always an overflow in your life of who he is in every single one of our lives. There's different ways to give today. You can text. You can download PushPay. You can give with an envelope. There's mailboxes on your way out to put your tithe and offering in. Or you can give it throughout the week by sending it to 210 East Main Street.
Good job. Come on, give it up for Pastor Aaron this morning. It's great to see you today. Today, I'm more than honored that I have one of my high school friends that came all the way from California to sit in church this morning. Doug, would you stand up today and have your beautiful wife stand up with you too? It's my friend, Doug Van Duzer. This is Debbie Tom's brother, and we went to school together. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here. And Doug, I'm trying to sit here and remember this morning. Did we go to Florida together when we were kids? Did you ever go on one of those trips or no? I went without you. Okay, it's probably just as well, because he is an incredible, I was going to say a young man. You are a young man. We are still young men. And I was thinking, we're going to be graduated from school this year for 48 years. Is that right? Can that be? He's over there trying to compute that in his mind right now. Thank you for being here. And we love your sister and her husband and their family as well. So grateful for that. I want to just say this on the heels of Pastor Aaron receiving the offering today. We're almost halfway through a year, and I just want to ask all of you, are you where you want to be in the area of your giving? As I was pondering that this week, the scripture says, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, all the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And when you love God, you will sow, you will give to him for his purposes and the plans that he has for your life. And it's not just that we just give and then we just walk away, but I am just have been completely convinced and have learned over several years of being a giver that God creates opportunities that I had no idea even existed for my future. I believe that before this year is out, that he has miracles and great opportunities planned for my life that even right now I don't even know about. I have no concept. I can't even, that's where the Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. All the things that God has prepared. For some of you, God has some incredible things prepared that he wants to release in your life. And the Bible says that as we sow, something begins to grow. If you were to look around the farmland right now, all around our area, you will see little green coming up out of the ground. That just didn't happen. There was sowing that took place. And I just want to remind you today that when it comes to giving, don't make it the last thought of your life. Make it the first thought. Remember, I've talked on honor the last few weeks, and the scripture that's so incredible on this is in Proverbs. Honor the Lord with the first of everything that comes in. If you'll think in that way, you and I will be the recipient of what honor brings to your life. When you give honor, it's not that you give something away. It's that you sow something that you are going to receive back. Come on, can I hear an amen on this morning? And God has, and he wants to bless you. It's the last Sunday of the month. We've talked about since the beginning of the year that we want to give to a missions project. In this month, as we did last month, the pastors talked about this, that we'd sow towards the refinishing of the gymnasium floor over on the other side of town at our St. Anthony's property, which is amazingly beautiful. It was a project that cost a little more than $30,000. We set up to pay 6 months at $5,000 a month. We made that first commitment last month, and the next one is coming. I just want to ask for some of you, I know many were faithful last month and helped make this happen, that you have an opportunity to do that as well this month. You can do it on the PushPay app. There's a place that says missions or other, and you can just write it in there so we know what it's to do with. You can put it in an envelope, drop it in the white box. Just write on it, missions or gym floor. You can send it in the mail the same way. I just want to say thank you so much in advance for you to consider that. This weekend, we celebrate in a very important time in America. And again, as I said earlier, our culture has been skewed a little in this with different opinions and the thought processes of people. I'm always amazed at how some people that different ones call great heroes because of their talents or their abilities. But I want to talk just for a short moment about great heroes that enlisted in the armed forces because their country called them to. And when they signed their name to say, "We will go," many went full well knowing that they may never come back home again. See, I was a part of that family that got that. Back then, it was a Western Union message that came to the house. On March 6, 1967, we regret to inform you. This message was to my mother and father. We regret to inform you that your son, Chief Petty Officer Gary B. McDonald, has been killed in a car accident in America that we didn't even know he was home. He was coming home on leave to surprise his family. You will never look at this weekend the same again if you connect with a remembrance like that. And I want to just encourage you tomorrow, as I said earlier in the first service, enjoy the picnics. Eat. I'm even going to give you permission to overeat. Have fun. But maybe get up a little earlier tomorrow. Maybe take your family on a little short jaunt and take them through a cemetery so that they can see the flags of those that made this season that we're living in possible. We live in a flawed America, but it's the greatest country on the face of this earth. You do not see people running across the border, going into Russia or China or Venezuela or Cuba. I want everybody to think of that when they're considering how bad our country is. They come to America because it's a place who symbolizes what freedom is about. Skewed? Yes. Make mistakes? Absolutely. But still, the greatest nation on the face of this earth. Can we put our hands together one more time? I want you to welcome Pastor Ryan. He's got an incredible message this morning. Come on, give him a big God bless you as he comes.
Good morning. We're so blessed to be able to gather together and enjoy our freedom. Amen. I'm thankful for those who have paid that ultimate sacrifice, those who paid for our freedom with blood and sacrifice. And I think of the sacrifice of men and women today, but I pray that we think of them every day. And I think of the value. I think of the value of their sacrifice, the value. I believe sometimes, as my dad has already mentioned this morning, that our culture has a little bit of a tendency to downgrade the value that's been given by sacrifice. And when we were growing up, my dad, when a patriotic song was played, if we had a hat on, my dad would look over and say, he didn't have to say anything. Let me just put it to you that way. And I'm thankful for those lessons. I'm thankful that when we were boys that my dad would tell us, put your hand on your heart and pay attention and respect the Pledge of Allegiance. When I was in school, when every morning in class, you said the pledge in school. And I think that it's important for each one of us, children and adults alike, to value the sacrifice that many have given. So this morning I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about the value of sacrifice. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, come and do what you do. Come and move and make us, Father, we pray this morning. Lord, we want to be your disciples. We want to be disciplined disciples, those who speak your word and not our word, those who walk in a way that's pleasing unto your name, Father, people who represent you the way you'd like to be representative as your children, as your disciples. We thank you this morning that you are going to come and do what you do so well, change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. The value of sacrifice. I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, about value. And I think oftentimes when we think about value, we think about a product. I don't know if you're that way, but I'm that way. Something that came to me this week is if I have something for sale, but people won't pay for that product, it diminishes the value of the product. If I have a product and I have a service, but yet the individuals that I'm attempting to sell that product or that service to won't sacrifice anything for that, there is no value in it. So when we talk about the value of a product, when we talk about the value of a country, the value is built by the sacrifice that men and women will pay for that product, for that organization. Every organization, that its worth is built by sacrifice. You think of this place, and there's a few less here because people started the barbecues early, amen, and got hung up on the eggs a little long today. But you think of this place. You look around at the people who are seated here today. And them walking in here, those people walking in here, you walking in here, me walking in here, the value of this ministry is built on the sacrifice that you'll pay for it, the sacrifice that you'll give for it. Let me back into it even further. The church was established in the book of Acts through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what I'm trying to say is the organization, the church, the body of Christ, the value of that organization is built on the sacrifices of Jesus Christ, but also the sacrifice that God calls you and me to as we serve the work of the kingdom of God. So value is determined by sacrifice. It doesn't matter if you think an item or an organization has great worth. The recipient of the product must find value and make a sacrifice for that. I think of our Wednesdays. I think of the people around this room. I mean, if you could just see it, those of you that were there, if you could just see it, it's 2 degrees. You know what 2 degrees feels like. It's 2 degrees. There's no way to stay warm when it's 2 degrees for 2, 3, 4 hours. And there's many in here that they gave a sacrifice to sow, to love, to care for people that Jesus called us to love and care for. The sacrifice. This morning, if you walked in after 8 o'clock this morning, you missed about 2 hours of sacrifice. You say, really, Ryan? 2 hours, 6 o'clock in the morning. The door opened on this building before 6 o'clock in the morning. The value of this ministry, the value of any organization, the value of any product is built on the sacrifice that's given for it. So those of you that sacrifice so much, those of you that give, those of you that show up, those of you that serve the work of the ministry, the value of this ministry has been paid by your sacrifice. So you can look around, just tell everybody, thank you, thank you, thank you. Have you ever heard a statement say, the statement like this, that value is built on self-esteem? You ever heard that before? This guy that we used to work for, I work for him in Buffalo, he made this statement, and when he said it, I thought, man, this guy's a real jerk. But as I begin to think about it more, I understand his point. He'd say this. He'd say, I wish I could buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth. And what he was trying to say is an overinflated ego is just as bad as is low self-esteem. The good news is this, is that your worth as a believer isn't built on your self-esteem or what someone else thinks of you. You could be the greatest preacher. You could be the greatest singer. You could be the greatest business person. You could be the greatest teacher. That doesn't determine your value, though. The sacrifice in all that is what determines value. Let me just a little further. I didn't share this in the first service. I think of my life. I've never been the smartest guy in the room. I've never been the best looking guy in the room. However, my wife tells me I am all the time. I like that. Just side note. But I've never been any of those things. But one thing that we were taught when we were young men, when we were little boys, is the value of a sacrifice that's given. Ryan, you'll get further if you sacrifice than if you're the smartest guy in the room. You'll get further if you sacrifice, if you give, if you love. You'll get further in life through that sacrifice than any amount of talent could ever give you. For some of us, that's good news. I want to show you in Scripture where value is determined by sacrifice. First Peter 1 and 18 says these words. It says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited. It wasn't paid for by gold or silver, which lose their value. It was paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God was offered up, and God chose him as your ransom long before the world began." When God got ready to put a value on you, he didn't say, "Give me 15 big bitcoins." Aren't you glad for that? When God put a value on you, he didn't say, "Hey, your life is worth $50,000, but Billy's life is worth $75,000. He didn't pull out seed and say, "This is what your life, this is what humanity's worth." How he valued your life, you read the Scripture. How he valued your life is he sent his one and only Son. He sent the atoning sacrifice for the world. He sent it by his Son, his most valuable asset. He gave everything for you and for me. Ransom refers to payment, which is attached to purchase. Jesus Christ purchased us with blood. Sin had gotten a hold on us. But God said, "I will pay everything for your life." So when you think to yourself, "Man, I just can't, I don't cut it." You ever think that way? "I just don't measure up. I could never be, I could never do." Your value isn't determined on what you think you're worth. Your value isn't determined on your self-worth or what someone labels you as. Your value is determined by that precious blood of Jesus Christ. So value isn't driven by the gift to sing, the gift to preach, by intellect. Your worth is driven by what Jesus paid. Value is determined by sacrifice. My boys, we watch a show. How many of you ever watched Shark Tank? We watch this show. We sit and watch, and there's a term that they use that kind of struck me, and I wanted to look into it, read about it a little bit. And the term is intrinsic value. Have you ever heard that term? I know, Garrett, you've heard it. Intrinsic value. And the easiest way I could find to describe intrinsic value is this. My dad and I, we went to, I think it's Chilai or Greed, I don't know where it is, but we went to this burger place, and it was just kind of off the cuff. We pulled into this place, and we, now you're paying attention to me because I'm talking about burgers. I see how you are. This is a spirit-filled church in here. And we began to eat this burger, and you could ask my dad. And then all of a sudden, I saw chicken wings on the menu, and I thought, "Dear God, burgers and chicken wings in the same place? And this is all they do? this is heaven on earth. And I ordered a double order of chicken wings. And the burger came out. It was huge. It was entirely too much food, and we ate it all. And just like you're going to this weekend. And we got done, and I thought to myself, there's only been 2-3 people in and out of this place. Why? It's clean. The food's fantastic. The food was fast. It came out. We ate it, and we ran. It's a manly place, amen, in and out of there. And we got done, and follow me now. We start heading back down the road to home, and I looked over to the left, and on the left there was a McDonald's. Follow me with this, because I'm going somewhere. I look over to the left. The McDonald's parking lot's packed full. Not the location that the place that we went to was, not as good as a location. So it wasn't the location, and it definitely wasn't the burger. Can I get a amen? It wasn't the French fries or the high C drink that McDonald's offered. Here's what determined the traffic through that place, the value of that place was determined by the brand. The brand of something is the golden arches. It's not the employees. It's not the fixed assets. It's not the system. It's not the organization. It's the intrinsic value that the people that founded that company made. You know, the big weird people that were, when we were kids, they were on the box. You know what I'm talking about. They built a brand through those golden arches that means more to people than the product that they're selling. Intrinsic value. $25 billion a year intrinsic value. I'll give you just one more thought on it, and then we'll move on. I had this wedding ring as an example this morning. I had this wedding ring. And in all truthfulness, Sam and I talked before, this ring could have been bought out of a Cracker Jack box, okay? Cheap ring, really cheap, right? And you know how it is when you gain weight, you kind of celebrate if you can slip your ring off. Anybody else like that? Don't raise your hand. And I got in the shower and I said, praise God, I got this ring off. And I set it on the ledge in the shower. Now I'm getting ready and I'm in a rush and the whole thing. And I come out and Sam's standing in the kitchen. She's working at the sink and she immediately looked down at my ring and she said, where's your wedding ring? And the whites of her eyes turned black. And she was cleaning dishes, and all I saw was Freddy Krueger coming out of her. And I said, I don't know what I did with it. And she found the ring. The point is this morning, the ring represents $50. But it represents so much more in intrinsic value to her and I. It represents 17 years of ups and downs and backs and forth, a brand that we've created in our home, an intrinsic value that we've created with each other that could never be replaced if I lost this ring. And now I never take the ring off. Intrinsic value. As many of you know, I make a living in real estate, and I thought of this week as I prepared. A house last year that was worth $100,000, if you're in the housing market, this year it's worth $150,000 to $175,000. Somebody asked me last week, why what's the surge in the prices? Here's the surge. It's the sacrifice that people will pay for the same product has gone up. Well, why has it gone up? That's the question. Here's why it's gone up. Because last year when everybody was locked down and couldn't leave their homes, I believe that they began to realize the true value of a home. When you're out and you're not paying attention to it and you're here and there and everywhere like most of us are, you don't really value it. But when you're in it, and you're told that you can get sick if you go out, so stay in your home. All of a sudden, that nest, the value of that nest, the sacrifice that you and I will give up for it, goes through the roof. Are you with me? Because value isn't determined by what the owner determines it to be. It's determined by the sacrifice that someone will pay for it. And Jesus said this, "You are worth my blood. You are worth my life. You are worth being hung on a cross for. You are worth the ultimate payment. I'm valued because Jesus paid a sacrifice for me. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm also valuable, and this country is valuable because of the price that men and women paid long before they knew me." Think about it that way. The value of this country was paid for by the blood of men and women. I want to read you a portion of scripture, and I think Solomon does a fantastic job teaching this better than I. And it's in 1 Kings 3 and 16. And just stick with me a minute, and I'll be done here in about 5-8 minutes. Verse 16 says this, "One day, two women came to Solomon, and one of them said, 'Your Majesty, this woman and I live in the same house, two women, one house. Not long ago, my baby was born at home, and 3 days later, her baby was born. Two women, two babies, one house. Nobody else was there with us,' she says. 'One night while we were asleep, she rolled over on her baby, and he died. Then while I was asleep, she got up, took my baby out of my bed, put him in her bed, and then she put the dead baby next to me.'" This is the scripture. Stick with me for a minute. "In the morning when I got up to feed my son, king, I saw that he was dead. But when I looked at him in the light, he wasn't my son." "No," the other woman shouted, "he's your son. My baby's alive. The dead baby's yours," the first woman yelled. "Mine is alive." They argued back and forth in front of Solomon until he finally said, "Both of you say this live baby is yours. Someone bring me a sword," he says. A sword was brought, and Solomon ordered, "Cut the baby in half. This way, you both can have part of him." And one of the mothers responds this way, "Please don't kill my son." The baby's mother screamed, "Your Majesty, I love him very much. But give him to her. Just don't kill my baby." The other woman shouted, "Listen to these words. Go ahead. Cut him in half. Neither of us will have the baby." Solomon said, "Don't kill the baby." Then he pointed to the first woman. "She is the real mother." Verse 26 says these words, "Please don't kill my son." The baby's mother screamed, "Your Majesty, I love him very much. Give him to her. Just don't kill him." My first thought this morning is, what will you sacrifice for the sake of love? King Solomon, he says, "Bring me a sword." Wisest king, right? You know the scripture. He asked God, "Give me wisdom and knowledge." And God says, "I'll give you wisdom and knowledge, but I'll also give you long life and wealth." King Solomon knew that value was determined by sacrifice. So he said, "Bring me the sword, and I'll find out real fast who will give the baby up as a sacrifice because she loves him." My question for you this morning, and I'm going to be done real quick. My question this morning is, what will you give up for love's sake? She says, "I'll give up the baby. Just don't kill him." It's interesting as you grow up and as you process information, there are some people that would rather kill something than give it up. What do you mean, Ryan? In a marriage, sometimes being right's not all cracked up as it's cracked up to be, is it? You can create hell in your home to be right, or you can just be wrong for a second, and all of a sudden, there's peace. What will you give up for the sake of love? Lenny Brill told me one time, he goes, "Ryan, you can either be right and have no friends, or you can be wrong and have lines of friends." What will you give up for the sake of love? What will you sacrifice? God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten son. That whomsoever would believe in him would not perish. He knew you and I would perish if he didn't give up for the sake of love. What you sacrifice determines value love gives. You know, I think of it in these terms in church. You can take a position so strong in church, you can get so angry in church that you can lose a battle and lose a friend all at the same time. My first thought, what will you give up for love's sake? Number two, our value should be giving, not winning. Winning says, I want my way. Giving says, listen to these words, I'm creating an intrinsic value to the culture I'm surrounded in. Man, I love that. We all have values. This woman had a value. Her value was this: I have to be right. I have to have it my way. She had values. I've heard it preached that she had no values. She had values, but it was misplaced values. And a statement that came to me, are you killing something that's more important than you winning? You can win a fight. You can win an argument. You can win a disagreement and kill a thing all at the same time. The woman said, cut it in half. Can you imagine that? Because King Solomon knew value is determined by sacrifice. All she cared about is winning. Are you killing something that's more important than you are winning? I tell my boys all the time. They love sports. Tell them all the time, guys, it's great to win. It's fun to win. Fantastic to win. But winning's not as important as the way you treat people. It's the way you talk to people. It's the way you handle yourself, who you represent, what you represent. Don't forget what you represent in the process of winning. Don't forget who you are and whose you are in the process of winning. Winning isn't as important as giving. What are you winning that isn't as important as what you're killing? I'll put it this way. You have an ex-spouse, and you're so mad at that spouse that you talk bad about your ex to that child. Because you're going to get back, you're going to win the fight. All the while, the words that you speak to that child, you're killing the child. Winning is not always as important as it's made out to be. Are you with me this morning? Verse 27 says this. Solomon said, don't kill the baby. He pointed to the first woman. She is the real mother. Give the baby to her. Everyone in Israel was amazed when they heard how Solomon had made the decision. They realized God had given him wisdom. Wisdom. Not popularity. Wisdom. Wisdom is not popular. God gave him wisdom. He gave the baby to the woman who was going to give the baby away because he knew that value was determined by sacrifice. My last point. Solomon recognized the sacrifice that the mother made and said, can you imagine, in his mind, the wheels that are turning, he said, can you imagine that this baby's mother said, give my son to her. Give him up. It's okay. Solomon recognized the sacrifice of the mother, and here's my third point. Do you recognize the sacrifice that people make around you? Do you recognize like Solomon did? What people do when they eat their words, when they want to say something. I want you to know this morning that God in heaven, the righteous judge, recognizes what you do. He recognizes what you do with no reward, no thank you. And he says, I recognize the sacrifice. The part of the story that I love so much, Solomon standing there with sword in hand, and he says, we're not going to kill the baby. Give the baby to that woman. And what it struck me to say is, Solomon understood that God in heaven, anytime you'll give something up, God will give it back to you. Anytime that you'll give up your ego in a fight, that you'll give up your selfish will in a fight, God says, love never loses. I love that. Do you recognize the sacrifice that others make in any organization or in any life? And I want you to know that sacrifice matters. That value is determined by sacrifice. That sacrifice, when you give it, that God in heaven looks down and acknowledges exactly what you've done. That your value is determined by the sacrifice that he gave, and that God sees your sacrifice. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the sacrifice that men and women gave for our freedom. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you paid the price. You paid a debt that you didn't owe with us in mind. Father, we're just grateful. Our hearts are so grateful this morning for the families, for the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice. We can't wait to meet them. We can't wait to shake their hands and hug and pay our appreciation one day. But today, Father, we will pause. We will say thank you. We will honor those with our actions, with our words, and with our thoughts. Thank you for it. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the sacrifice that's been paid in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you so much. And I want you to know, I am going to overeat this weekend. Just putting it out there. We're going to have some fun. I love you guys. You guys are fantastic people. And we'll see you real soon. Have a great weekend.